Well, good morning and welcome to Kings Park Community Church. Today's service is going to be very different to what you're used to. And so once a year, we take a Sunday to look at what we did in 2024 and what we're going to be in 2025 so that you as our church or as the church are aware of the things that we've been doing and if that was effective and what we're trying to do into the future. So first, a couple of announcements. Next week is our Child Protection Change Day. A little bit of excitement. Want everybody there who's involved in children's ministries. So come and be a part of that. I was looking at my lawn yesterday and I'd mowed it and it looked pretty smick and I thought, this is really, really cool. But if I let it go for 6 months, 3 months, whatever, it looks unkept, uncared and looks a shambles. And that's what child protection's a bit like. It's something you've got to keep on maintaining to be on top of, and that's why we do it every year. So come and be a part of that. We don't want our... Sorry? And vulnerable people as well. Yes, child protection and vulnerable people. On the 15th of February, we have a women's conference, which will be up at Campbelltown. It runs from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And if you, as a woman, would like to get there, Trish is offering to work out lifts and things, so have a chat to Trish. On the 8th of March, not to be outdone, CCC Aust are holding a men's conference at Burwood. The speaker will be a guy called the name of Dave Jensen, and he'll be sharing on how to share the good news in today's world. And so that'll be a good opportunity to come and think about how do we live out our faith in our community. So we'll get a group of men and we'll head up there and spend the day up there as a group. All right, let's take some time to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being our sustainer and our friend. Thank you that you love us and we get to be your hands and feet to those around about us. May we as a church grow in spiritual wisdom and display your love to those around us. We ask for your intervention in a few things today. For Gary, as he tries to locate his dog, Buddy, who went missing this week, we pray that you'll help Buddy be found. Father, for those who are suffering from medical conditions, give them the knowledge of yourself as they persevere through their situations. For our expectant mothers, may you keep them and these little ones safe. Today, as we look at your church and discuss where we are going, may we have ears to hear and eyes to see that we as a community may follow your directions and be a light for you in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at the end of the service, there'll be a little paper, which is what we normally give out every year, just a little four-page spread, and it will be a summary of the things that have been discussed today, so you can see and have a record of the things that have been talked about today. And so we're going to be looking at looking forward, and I'm going to be looking at 2024 to see how we went and where we got to. So at the end of 2023, Chad and Parissa felt called to a new ministry in Springwood. They left the church and a number of families reevaluated where they would like to worship, and so we lost a number of families at that point in time. This left our planning for 2024 in shambles. The ministry leadership team took on some additional responsibilities and carried a significant load, including organising our outreach dinner and also our church camp. And thank you to that team who did an amazing job in 2024. A number of new families also joined the church, and the attendance trends show on the graph that we as a church actually grew over this time, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. And so this is in quarters, and so in 2024, March, May, July, September and November shows you the trends. And so we've actually almost been the largest we've been for quite a while. So that was a very impressive result based on the things that we've come through and where we've been. Fletcher also joined our team as an interim pastor at the end of May 2024 and has been a blessing to the church. CCCS, which is our Filipino church, have settled back into the building and they run their services on Sunday afternoon. And we also welcomed a group called the Sydney Indian Christian Fellowship as a part of our church outreach. And so they meet on every second Saturday here. And at the moment, they have around up to 200 people a fortnight turn up here as a form of outreach. And so that's been a blessing. And they're officially now part of our church. We've signed an MOU with them. And they're an outreach part of our church. And so Giri and Rajithra are an integral part of that team and running that in this church. One of the very interesting facts from our outreach program last year is that we have a footprint of 1-to-1. And what I mean by that is, if you take the connections that we have in community through Hands and Feet, Playgroup, Shift and Crosslink, then we have active relationships with about 80 people. And you can see on the graph that we're running about 80 people. And so that's quite an amazing opportunity for us as a church that there are about 80 people that we're sharing Christ with from 80 people in the church. So that's pretty impressive. And so thank you for all your hard work in those groups. And it just shows that we are being a light in this community. In terms of finances, we informed the church 12 months ago that we were in a little bit of strife, and we implemented a number of strategies to address the issue. The graph on the screen shows the outcome of these strategies. And so this is where we were in 22-23. This is our zero balance line, and basically everything except our church property was in negative. And so now you can see in 2024, KPCC is above the line and CCCS is still below the line, but we've just implemented some things with Ariel. And so he's now working 4 days a week with the Anglicare. And so we're not paying as much wage as we were. And so that was one of the outcomes of that process. In terms of our church paying it off, even though we changed our strategy and drew some money out of the northwest side of things, you can see that we're still basically on a downward trend. And we've actually, as of Friday, now owe just over $600,000. So we're more than half where we started in paying the building off. So that's very exciting. And hopefully from here it should get faster and faster because we pay less and less interest as part of the payment, more and more principal off. So that's a very positive outcome, and thank you for those who have been so faithful in giving into paying off the building. Just for those who don't know, the building that we own is this one and next door. And so every month the people next door pay us rent, and that rent covers our cost of this building. And then as we put extra money on top of that, that helps the building prices come down and down, or the paying off the building come down. And so we get to keep the money we give here to go into ministry. So this building actually doesn't cost us anything in terms of doing ministry.
And just remind everyone that if they bring their bottles and cans in, that comes off the building as well.
So there are some people who do some work in the background. If you give your 10-cent cans here, Jane takes them down to the bottle place, gets the money back, and it goes into the building fund. So thank you, Jane. KPL. Is a LAN party computer game outreach ministry, and it has run for almost 10 years now. It was started by a group of young teenagers and their friends in this church who had an interest in gaming. These teenagers now are mostly married, and some even have children, and so the ministry has run its course, and it is now time for it to close down. Things move on, don't they? So thank you to Angus, Daniel, Ben, for the team for being involved in this amazing outreach. And it's just been amazing to see the connections we have to people we would never have connected to in this community, in this building. Now I'm going to hand over to Steve, and he's going to start talking about 2025. Thank you, Steve.
Good morning, everyone. Do you feel regenerated this morning? You don't? You haven't had a coffee yet, Jane? Oh, right. Well, you know, they say that the cells in your body regenerate every 7 to 10 years. But skin cells regenerate a lot quicker. Your skin cells regenerate, replace themselves every few weeks. So somewhere around your house is a pile of dust that you can say is the old you. The point I'm trying to get to here is we're constantly changing. The people in this room, sitting in this room right now, there's a different group of people than we were at the looking forward in 2024. There's new faces, but there's also, you've all had different experiences throughout the year. So your outlook on life, your relationship with God is different to what it was in 2024. We're all different in some ways. And as a leadership of Kings Park Community Church, the elders are conscious of the fact that we're all getting older. And so we need to look at how do we regenerate. We need to keep learning and growing and developing our skills to serve effectively in God's kingdom. And the elders want to help train and equip our future leaders. And this is happening in a way through our ministry leadership team. So we've got ministry leaders who are involved in service throughout the year. We've experienced it, and we'll hear a bit more about their involvement later on this morning. And it's encouraging to see their enthusiasm and energy in that space. But this year, the elders have decided that we need to have a look at the eldership process and start the elders' nomination process once again to identify young men who could join in an intern program within the eldership meeting. And that just exposes them to the day-to-day issues and things that the eldership looks at, and it's a really useful training tool for that. So we'll be implementing an intern-type program throughout this year. As far as our existing Fletcher, our interim pastor, he's great, he's amazing, he's making connections with people all over the place, and it's really encouraging to see the outcome of his work. But he still has a heart for Africa and he's pursuing that goal of going to Africa as a missionary. And so we need to start looking for a full-time pastor who would fulfill that role. And so I would appreciate your prayer for us, the eldership, as we endeavour to train, equip and build up the people of Kings Park Community Church. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to be talking to you about our ministry plans for 2025. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read that the disciples are promised power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And we are told that they will be Christ's witnesses in four places: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, those four place names, apart from possibly the ends of the earth, don't mean a lot to us, but this comes into sharp focus when you understand where the disciples were. You see, at the time that this was said to them, they were in Jerusalem. So this speaks of a logical and sequential progress of the gospel. First, it would impact the city where they were, Jerusalem. Second, it would impact the region surrounding them, Judea. Third, it would impact the neighbouring region, which was Samaria, which was an area that they didn't get on with terribly well, so that was a big deal. And finally, it would impact distant parts of the world. Now, here in KPCC, we believe that we are part of a similar progression of the work of the gospel. A loose way to interpret the same idea would be to think of our church being a part of God's work in Kings Park itself, other parts of Sydney, including Blacktown and the surroundings, other parts of Australia, and other countries. Now, one thing that is worth noting about the disciples, their work in Jerusalem continued for many years after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. And it even continued long after the other areas were starting to be reached as well. Their work in Jerusalem kept on going, and rightly so, because although the other places were important, for it to succeed, they needed to have a powerful and sustainable work continuing in the area where they lived. In the same way, elders of KPCC are excited to see so many local works happening here. When we tally up all the people who are involved on a weekly basis in the ministries of the church, as Brad said, we see there's about 80 people who regularly interact with the church who don't actually come to church services. And we think that's pretty amazing. This is a basis for a powerful work where we are. And in 2025, we want to see that work continue. But we also want to see that work grow. Right now, we have strong outreaches in Crosslinked, Shift Youth, Hands and Feet, School SRE, and others. Now, in these existing areas, there are many opportunities for ministry. And if any of those seem exciting to you, come and see one of their various ministry leaders, especially Shift Youth. I don't mean to go for favouritism. Come and see the leaders of all of them. But meanwhile, in addition, last year we saw a partnership develop with the Sindhi Indian Christian Fellowship, an outreach group aimed at the many people in the Indian community who are settling in the Blacktown area and Western Sydney more generally. This is an exciting opportunity for the gospel to reach out to many people who desperately need to hear about Christ. In 2025, we have two new ministry opportunities that we are aiming to bring online. That's, by the way, not to say that we wouldn't bring others online if we got the opportunity, but these are two that are starting, that we're starting with right now. The first of these is Christians Against Poverty, or CAP. This is an organisation that aims to help people who have, for various reasons, come into financial hardship. We're still working out how this can be a part of KPCC's programs, but if the idea of helping people in this way and using this as a bridge to help them get to know Christ is exciting to you, then please come and talk to the elders or Fletcher about being a part of it. The second of these two initiatives is NDIS. Now, as you may have heard, Hands and Feet is now a licensed NDIS provider and can support churches to provide services to those in need through the government's NDIS program. Joel is leading this program. If you'd like to be a part of it, then speak to him. These programs are about our Jerusalem and, if you like, our Judea. But there's also a lot to do in Samaria and the ends of the earth. And in the moment, we're going to watch a video from Simon and Lucinda. Now, if you happen to be watching this online, you will be unable to see the video. But please email me, jono@kpcommunity.com.au, if you would like to get a link.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is very good to be with you again this morning. Oh, just to let everybody know, too, I was reminded just before that the video we showed of the Glovers, that was not all of the video. There is more to it, and we can show more of that in a future, next week perhaps, if people would like to see the full video they have. But good morning. It is great to be with you this morning and to be able to share about the year ahead and what we have planned as our vision for 2025. And of course, I should begin by saying that our theme for this year is a transformed heart, okay? So a transformed heart is our new theme for this year. I'll talk about that in a bit more detail later. But what this means fundamentally, the reason we chose this, is that to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, we are all now, or what this should be demonstrated in, is by the radical changes that we see in believers' lives. And so our vision for 2025 is how we hope these changes will be evident in our lives as a church. We hope that this will be, these changes will be demonstrated in areas such as this, that this year there will be more of a focus in building intentionally into the lives of people we connect with through ministry. As we just spoke of before, we have many ministries in this church, and we hope that we can build more intentionally into the lives of some of those people we come into contact with. We want to focus this year, and we hope that we can see Christians and members of our church involved in serving and people getting more involved in the ministries that we have as a church. And we hope that we want to have a renewed focus this year on seeing our contacts, the people that we come into contact with as a church, coming into our church and us being involved in them discovering what life with Jesus looks like. That's what we hope for this year. And we also want to focus on seeing an active culture of evangelism and discipleship developed in our church. So, let's just look at that in a little more detail. As I said, our teaching theme is a transformed heart, a heart that is aligned to what God is doing, and how does this fit in with our lives? How does this change our lives? Yes, there we go. There's our new very flash Polaroid for this year. We as a church are never supposed to be inward focused. Okay, we should always be looking outward towards the world around us and the people outside our walls who are perishing. So for 2025, we want to have a new focus, a renewed focus on reaching people and investing into the lives of people that we connect with as a church, the people that we come into contact with outside our church walls, as was spoken about this morning. As we looked at, we have many ministries that we serve this community with, and we want to be using those opportunities to share the gospel, so that those people will actually see the love of Christ in that, okay, and in us. And of course, that involves seeing Christians getting more involved in serving. As I said, a transformed heart means that there should be radical changes that are demonstrable in the lives of believers. And so we really want to have a greater focus this year on all of us getting involved in our ministries as best as we can, whether it's hands and feet, Crosslink, playgroup, youth group, kids' church, worship. There are so many ways that you can serve in this church. We have so many different avenues of ministry, and we really hope that all of us, in one way or another, can serve or get involved in these ministries in some capacity. We really want to, or we hope, as I said before, that we can be more focused on seeing our contacts come into church. We have a very good measure of how we are connected with a significant number of people in the community. But we want to continue to progress with that, and we hope that those people will come to hear with us about the love of Christ and enter these walls and stay here. And we want to assist them in discovering what life with Jesus really looks like. In fact, we not only want our contacts brought into our church family, but going forward, we want to foster in our church an active culture of evangelism and discipleship. We'll be looking at the Great Commission later this year, and of course, the commission that Jesus left us with was this. It was to baptize and make disciples of all nations. That was the mission, the co-mission that God and that Jesus co-opted us into when he left. That's what he left with us to do. And so our primary function as a church should be developing this culture, an active culture of evangelism and discipleship. As I said before, we should never be focused on just looking inwards, in insular or looking inwards in our own lives, but even within the life of the church, we should never just be focused on looking at what happens inside our walls. We should be focused on taking the gospel to our community and the lost right outside our doors. And of course, we want to make sure that discipleship is also a significant part of our development and growth. Because as we grow, as our hearts are transformed and renewed, we want to be focused on raising up people from our church to send them out to other places to be doing God's work. It's so funny, isn't it? We spend so much time just thinking about our own church life and what's going on here, but we should never do that. We should always be focused on the people that we can send out to the world. Because as we do that, as we're mindful of this, we're actually mindful that everything we are doing for a purpose, to continue to send out disciples of Jesus Christ to the world around us so that they make more disciples of Jesus Christ in the entire world as well, so that the entire world will worship the Lord Jesus as we do here. And so we want to be seeing more people involved in ministry opportunities and an active culture of evangelism and discipleship developed in our church. Now, of course, I have to address our teaching theme. Our teaching theme is a transformed heart. And what that means is We'll be looking at how a heart that is changed by the Holy Spirit should be evidenced by a renewed direction and new priorities. Our lives should be radically changed by that. And so we'll be looking at that through the scriptures this year in our teaching program. So we're looking at four main sections of God's Word. To begin with, our first sermon series this year will be on the Sermon on the Mount. And in my opinion, there is no more significant place in the Bible where Jesus so specifically explains to us what it looks like to be a citizen of God's kingdom. That in many ways is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. Jesus gives us this teaching in order to show us what it means to be a kingdom liver, what it means if you are a citizen of God's new kingdom now. Much of his teaching is devoted to that, and so we'll be looking at that sermon in Matthew's gospel. Secondly, we'll be looking at the book of Ruth, which is a character study of two good hearts, as I think we've called that section, because the book of Ruth is all about two transformed hearts, two hearts that had been shaped by the Holy Spirit and really shone like stars amidst the turbulence of Israel at that time. So following on from the book of Judges, we'll be looking at these character studies to see what a transformed heart looks like. And of course, in some ways, I think no study of that idea of a new heart, a transformed heart, would be complete without looking at King David. So we are going, because David, of course, was described as a man after God's own heart, a title that was applied to nobody in the Old Testament except him. And so in 1 Samuel, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel, with the theme of a good heart is hard to find, meaning that David, who had a man after, yes, I know, everybody remembers the song, so... Okay, I'm not going to say who chose that title. But we want to examine his heart so we can learn from his example, okay? Because David was a man after God's own heart, a man who the Holy Spirit had truly, truly worked on. And we want to learn what it was that made him so special in God's eyes. And finally, we'll be looking at Colossians and how Christ is at the heart of everything and how God wants to shape our lives around that. So that, in brief, is what we'll be covering in 2025. So it should be exciting. I think I'm excited. Is everyone excited? Good. Excellent. Excellent. Now, as I said before, our key passage that I hope that we can, you know, keep in our minds is Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Which is, it might be coming up on the screen, yeah, here we go. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So we want to have just a very brief devotion on this now. This passage, just the context, of course, of this passage was that God was speaking to the Israelites about renewal. They are in exile, but he was speaking to them about a renewal where they will be, you know, their spiritual lives would be renewed. But of course, that was pointing forward to a much greater renewal that was going to happen, okay? Not just improving their physical circumstances, but in actual fact, a renewal of their hearts. This passage, in fact, is one of only three places in the Old Testament where God described and predicted the coming new covenant, where he would write his laws on our heart. The others being Ezekiel 11:19 and Jeremiah 31:1. God describes the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ, as one in which he himself removes our hearts of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, illustrating how our old sin-filled nature is replaced with a new spirit-filled nature. God's Spirit so changes us from the inside out that we actually desire to walk in his statutes. We're no longer doing this out of a burden to try and keep up with God's commandments, to earn his favor. Rather, now we've actually been made anew. We've been forgiven by grace, fully accepted in God's sight, and instead we obey him out of love for him. This is the great expectation of every believer and the internal evidence that we have been given a new heart, that we actually begin to desire to serve God and walk with him, something we could never do before, something we were not capable of until our hearts were changed. A heart of stone is stubborn and self-willed. It never naturally obeys God. But a heart of flesh is pliable and responsive to God's Spirit. And that's what we've been given now. The gift of a new heart actually signifies the new birth or the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. In John 3, when Jesus met with the Jewish leader Nicodemus, who at first failed to understand what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born again," he misunderstood the significance of what Jesus was saying. Jesus confronted Nicodemus, saying that since he was the teacher of Israel, he should know of the new birth. Because this is exactly where Jesus was pointing him to, the new covenant that had been proclaimed in the old covenant, in the Old Testament. And he explained that in the new covenant, we are transformed from the inside out. In this new covenant, we're changed from within. God gives us a new heart. It's not about trying to transform our behavior through external regulations. It's about God transforming us from within. Someone once said, even though a person sick with leprosy can cover up all his wounds with a flowing garment, the fact remains that he is still a diseased leper. He might be able to try and cover up externally some of the hideous sickness, okay, that is ravaging his body, but he can't actually hide the fact that he is still diseased from top to bottom. In the same way, a sinner may be somewhat successful at reforming all the externals of their lives, as did Saul of Tarsus and Nicodemus, but until that person is born again, until that person has surrendered to the new birth and been given a new heart, they will never truly be pleasing in God's sight. They are unable of ever pleasing him, and they cannot see the kingdom of God. So how do we enter into this new covenant? Well, how do we receive a new heart? By believing in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. When we ask him to take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, we're literally reborn, as Jesus said. The old self is gone. The new self comes with a new heart now, a transformed heart that is molding us into the likeness of Christ. Okay, so that's what our focus is going to be on this year. So now I believe now we are going to have a time of communion. So to begin with, we're going to spend a few minutes in open worship. So anybody who would like to share with us, please feel free to at this time.